All right. Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Yom Shani, Shabbat Kodesh. Oy, Kaf Aleph B'Tamuz. So, just picking up where we left off here in Siman, Resh Nun Aleph. Last time we spoke about the order of priority with regards to Tzedakah, who takes precedence on even one city, one's relatives, immediate family. Eretz Yisrael, that was last time. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Resh Nun Aleph, Saif Dalit, continues as follows. Kofin ha'av lezun bino ani, ve'afilu hu gadol, kofin oto yoter mish'er ashirim sheba'ir. If a person has a son who is poor, and the father is well off, we force the father. Apparently, there are sometimes that the father has to be forced. So you force the father to sustain the child, even if the child is an adult, more so than other ashiri, more so than other wealthy people in the city. It's more of his responsibility because it is his son. And the Rama adds in, this doesn't only apply to a father and son, which means the same applies to other relatives as well, which means that if a person has a relative who is poor, he has response, and the other relative is rich, so that person has more of a responsibility to sustain them than the other rich people. Okay, so we'll move on. Saif Hey, says Manan. Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody. There's plenty of rich people who live very simply. You know what I'm saying? It's not...
Right, but I'm saying, let's say, for example, we say even last time, many people at one point in their life, at one point or another, they reach that time where they have whatever, that big deal, or they have that big time, have that surge.
And then later, it gets quiet, yeah.
Back to normalcy or something, mm-hmm. Like, whatever it is. So let's say for that big period of time, the last 5 years, 10 years, and things look back 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
If he
got used to that standard of life we saw before in the Shulchan Aruch, that even a person who, you know, got... Yeah, so it depends if he got used to that standard of life. It's not necessarily the amount of money that he has. It's trying to uphold the standard of living that he has, which means if he was a very wealthy guy, but he lived pretty simply, so, you know, and he's still able to maintain that lifestyle, so over there he doesn't need tzedakah. If it's a person, the point is that a person feels suffering if he has to downsize. Anytime a person has to downsize, it's hard. Yeah. Viter. Says Maran Viter. Saif He. Mishnatan mamon legabaim litzdaka. En lo velo liyoshav shum koach baim veakal yasuato ba'ine Elohim ve'adam. Which means that if a person gives money to the gabaim, to tzedaka collectors of the city, the halacha is that person later on, or his children or whatever, do not have any control or any say in what that money goes to. If, to begin with, you gave it to a certain tzedakah, that's a different story. But if you gave it to the general gaba'im of the city, the halacha is that the gaba'im alone will decide what to do with that money, and they have no say what's going to be done with that money. Now, what I just said before is the Rama Meforash. The Rama writes as follows. He says, Haga, aval kodem shebao lide gabai, im nadar tzedakah stam, notnim likrovei ma'anim. Which means that before the money comes to the hand of the gabai, if a person was nodir nedavat tzedakah, the halacha is that you give it to the order of precedence for that guy, which is a karov karov kodem. You give it first to his relatives and then to random anim. The omdim da'ato, the kavanato likrovav, ודווקא אם היו לו קרובים עניים בשעת הנדר, אבל אם היו לו עשירים ואז העינו, אין נותנים להם וכל זה פוסק צדקה לבד, אבל אם פוסק צדקה עם בני העיר, על דעת בני העיר, נדר והם יעשו מה שירצו. Very, very, very interesting what he's saying over here, which is, if you already have a situation where a person was נודר צדקה, it came לידי גבי, the הלכה is that person has zero say in where the money goes. Whatever the gabai decides to do with it for any communal tzedakot or whatever, That's what he can do. And you cannot try to sway the gabbai afterwards to change his mind. That's with regards to this. However, what happens if the person was nodir tzedakah, the person donated or pledged a certain amount of tzedakah before it came to the hands of the gabbai? Which means that we understand mistama, by default, the person wants to give tzedakah to his most needy relatives first, before taking care of random aniyim. Therefore, the gabbai has to divert those tzedakah funds to his poor relatives, because we assume, or we very strongly assume, that that was the kavanah of this individual. Now, however, even that, says the Ramah, has a caveat, which is, this only applies if at the time of the nidir, the person's relatives were poor. As opposed to, let's say the person at the time of the nidir had relatives, but they weren't poor yet. They were regular. He made a nidir. And then later on, before the tzedakah comes to hands of the gabbai, the relatives become aniyim. Over there, we don't say, hey, at the time of the nidir. What do you mean at the time of the nidir you knew? They weren't aniyim yet. You know, bracha kodesh. And therefore, over there, once it comes to the hand of the gabbai, he can do with it as he wishes. Or even if he had poor relatives, but let's say it's an appeal and he's donating or pledging tzedakah along with everybody else, the halacha is we do not say that he should that it should be diverted to his relatives. We say no, since you donated along with the appeal with everybody else, which means that you had in mind to give it to the same tzedakah that they were directing their money to, la halacha, we give it to them and we don't divert it to his poor relatives. Yeah? So he says like this. Yeah. Let's say it's a situation where he's ashamed or whatever it is. Yeah. Let's say he's ashamed. Or any other reason why he can't give it to the guy himself. The theme here is that if you tell the gabbai before, before you give tzedakah, you can donate it to everyone, which means even if you have a poor relative, if you decide, you know, you want to give it to some random money, you can make any tenai you want. You haven't donated the money yet. So therefore, you can say whatever you want. The question over here is if you gave it stam, which means if you gave it without specifying anything, and now we have to try to, pick his brain and decide what he wanted to do with it, that is the shayla. Says the Bayritiv, Likrovav, כתב בית יוסף בשם מרדכי שהמעשר יכול לתנו לקרוביו העניים ואם פוסק עם צדקה עם בני העיר אינו יכול לתנו לקרוביו. A person is allowed to divert his ma'aser funds to his poor relatives. It's mutar. And not only that, it's a mitzvah. Person has poor relatives. It's a mitzvah to use your ma'aser money on them. However, says the Bet Yosef, if there is a communal appeal towards a certain thing, communal appeal towards tzedakah, you cannot divert that money to it, which is very similar to what the Rama said. You can't give that money to your poor relatives. That money has to be given to the gabbai for the communal fund, and that you don't have a right to divert to your poor relatives. So, okay. Yeah. No, it doesn't work like that. If there's an appeal, if everybody knows what the appeal is for and everybody's donating towards that cause and you raise your hand or you pledge money to, you can't say, oh no, I'm going to, no. You pledge to that. You have to give to that. You don't have to give to that. So don't say anything. But if you're saying something, you're pledging something along with everybody else, you have to give to that cause. Okay. Tov. Saif Vav. Says Maran as follows, Yihyu aniyim b'nei v'techa. Now obviously, it doesn't mean literally that the people in your household should be poor. We don't want chalila them to be poor. Rather, what it means is, Yihyu aniyim b'nei v'techa, the people in your household, people who you invite, you should always have poor people and, miskinim, outcasts and vagabonds try to have them around so as to be mekayem mitzvah tzedakah. The Gemara, two dapim ago, and Daf Kuf Chav Zayin in Shabbat spoke about the importance of achnasat orchim. There's a machloket in Gemara if achnasat orchim is just as great as kabbalat pnei shechina, meaning greeting Hashem, or even greater. And the Rambam rules like the opinion in the Gemara that's even greater. But we spoke about on Shabbat that achnasat orchim, sometimes a person has to be real. You know, a person invites his brother, sister, son, whatever, for a Shabbat meal. They live down the block. That's, you know, the epitome of achnasat orchim. No, it's not. Why? Because over there, that's not achnasat orchim. Achnasat orchim is when it's being done as a chesed. Now, again, is it a form of achnasat orchim? Sure. But at the end of the day, achnasat orchim, you want to learn, the more uncomfortable it is, the more of a mitzvah of achnasat orchim it is. Sometimes, you know, if we're real for a second, when you invite over your brother, your sister, your son, your relative, your friend, your best friend, whatever it is, so over there, that might not be achnasat orchim, that's for your own benefit. You enjoy company, and these are people that you enjoy being around. So don't tell me any stories, achnasat orchim, achnasat orchim. Now sometimes, is there no achnasat orchim by relatives? Let's say a relative is traveling, he doesn't have where to be, but that is achnasat orchim. But if the guy lives down the block and you just invite him and, you know, you like to spend time, it's a, you know, very, at the very best, it's a low grade achnasat orchim. Achnasat orchim is people that you don't really enjoy being around too much. If there's anim, people that you don't really enjoy their presence so much, and yet you're doing it specifically because of the mitzvah, that is quintessential achnasat orchim. You kill two birds with one stone. Achnasat orchim and tzedakah. You have to learn achnasat orchim from Avraham Avinu. Who did he invite in? Arabs that were of the Avodah Zarah, that worshipped the dust on their feet. That's achnasat orchim. You think Avraham Avinu likes to be around such people? No, aval mikol makom, that's the mitzvah. And he went out of his way and he ve'omid aleim tachat ha'etz ve'ochelu. That's the real thing. Says the Be'eri Tev over here. Pidush Rambam. What does it mean that you should have aniyim as b'nei betecha? Dehainu, shemitzvah shu b'nei betecha aniyim v'yitomim, umutav lishtamesh b'ayim, mishishtamesh b'avadim, v'yitchashev lo l'tzedakah. Which means that the aniyim and yitomim, you should always have them around. Which means if you have a choice of hiring people, it's always good to have the help around the house. It says instead of having avadim shfachot, instead of having slaves and servants and whatever, if you can hire help, that's anim and yetomim, the almanot. So over there, the Rambam explains that is also a mitzvah of tzedakah. You take a person like that and you give him a job, that's a mitzvah of tzedakah as well. You're also killing two birds with one stone. But obviously, when you take these kind of people into your household and you hire them for help, you have to be very, very careful. There's a famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, Alav Shalom. He was once traveling for a certain mitzvah purpose with another Talmid Chacham, and they came to a certain inn, and the inn was owned by a certain Jewish woman. Yeah, famous. Not day laborers. Somebody for the house. Somebody to help around the house, whether it's cleaning help or babysitters, nannies. Yeah, whatever. So you try to give that. You try to divert the job instead of hiring random people. The Rambam says try to hire anim, try to hire yetomim ba'almanot, people who need it. And over there, you're also mekayim mitzvah tzedakah. So back to the Chafetz Chaim story. In your sleep, anyway, kitzur.
I actually did it while I was sleeping. I
have some. So he says the Chafetz Chaim was once traveling with this Talmid Chacham. And they came to a certain inn, in those times it wasn't, you had a hotel, you had like these bed and breakfast things. So they sat down and they took a room, and the Balabusta was very, she was very, very excited to be hosting the Gdol Adol. So it was time for dinner. They came to serve the Chafetz Chaim and the other Talmid Chacham dinner, and they come and they eat. So, and after the meal, the Balabusta, it's Balabusta. So she came to the Chafetz Chaim. She says, "No, how was dinner? How's the meal?" So the Chafetz Chaim, unbelievable meal. He says, "Best I ever had." And then she asked the other person, the Tam Chacham, she says, what do you say? How was your dinner? Says, you know, it was pretty good. And she looks at him, but, so yeah, you know, could have used a little bit more salt. The Chavetz Chaim, the Tam Chacham saw the Chavetz Chaim, it's like his ears fell off. Mamash. He says, what are you doing? Says, I can't travel with you anymore. He says, why? Because I said it needs more salt. Says, I never listened to Lashon Hara in my life. Look what you just did. Says, what Lashon Hara? I said it needs salt. Says, you have no idea what you just did. So, says, Rebbe, maybe you're exaggerating a little bit. He says, I'm not exaggerating. Wait, come with me. He said, let's go stand next to the kitchen. They went and stood outside the kitchen where nobody saw them. They overheard the cook was an almana, and they see the balabusta berating her. Look what you did. You embarrassed me, whatever. I don't remember at the end of the story whether she fired her or not, but mamash, this balabusta took her to task. Said, you see what you did? Person has to be, you know, there's very clear guidelines of what's Lashon Hara and Rechilut, and everybody knows, well, not everybody, but if you learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim, you know exactly what's Lashon Hara and Rechilut, what's not. But then there's another level of a person has to be ro'et anolad midiburo. A person has to always see, a person has to anticipate what's going to come about as a result of saying that. You know, what in the world? The Chafetz Chaim, you know, when you're the Chafetz Chaim, so you're very hypersensitive to stuff like this. So what the Chafetz Chaim is trying to teach this guy is that a person has to be very careful and anticipate, you know, who do you think is cooking in these, you know, in these inns and whatever? Who do you think has these jobs? And then he's going to go, they used to hire Jewish workers. So she went and she berated him. A person has to be very, very careful. You know, sometimes even the most innocent of comments has far-reaching effects, is what he's trying to say. So, Avan Mikol Makom, that's what he's saying. I had a Rebbe, and when he first got married, I think it was his, I think he was dating for, before he even got married, he was staying by his college house one Shabbat, and they ate something there, and his shviger burnt the potatoes. She's certainly Syrian. So his mother-in-law, his future mother-in-law, burnt the potatoes. Now, she didn't tadik them. She, you know, toasted them. Anyway, so he didn't want to say anything. She served them. She ate it. He ate it. It's a tremendous midotovo if he ate it. And then because he didn't say anything, his mother-in-law got the idea that maybe he likes burnt potatoes. So even after they got married for the next 2 years or so, every time she served it, she burnt it every time until the wife, you know, his wife caught on that he doesn't really like it, but he was just doing it to, you know, to be a mensch. Aval, mikol makom, a person has to be very, very careful not to hurt other people, not directly, and not even indirectly. A person hurts another person indirectly, as ma'asa, right? It's not kedai. So, bon aseh. Vadai. Oh, first of all, equal job?
Obviously, equal job.
Okay. Same quality of service?
Same quality of service.
Okay.
Ma
Shaila.
No, my question is exactly. Obviously, you want to give him the job.
So it's not. So the poskim discuss, anytime you buy a product, is that tzedakah? No, not necessarily, because you're buying an object that you need. However, sometimes you see poor people, you know, going around, you know, hawking or selling their wares, and you have no purpose whatsoever for the object. And now, you have no purpose for the object. You're only buying it to give the guy parnasah bechavod. Over there, the poskim say that would be tzedakah. If you have no purpose for that, if it's something that you needed and he happens to be selling it, not tzedakah. If you're only buying it, you don't need it, and you're only doing it because you want to support the guy, bederech shel kavod, that would be mutah. That would be, that you could use tzedakah funds for. Yeah. Then you're using it, you're stocking up. That's not, you can't, we're talking about, you know, a guy's walking around selling keychains. You know what I'm saying? Tov no, another thing. Especially now, let's say a person, you're gonna get, let's say you go to a restaurant, you're saying you go to a restaurant that you mamash don't like. Mamash, ala panim, right? That you know the cook, and the cook is, wife's third cousin, and the restaurant business was hit very hard by by COVID and miskinim. So you go over there to support him if you know the guy mamash needs it. Okay, which is.
See this person. Bazaar. In charge of them, a wealthy man, like I named his name. The wealthy man came and he mamash bought cell phone cases and jewelry and stuff he didn't need just to get my assets of people.
Tell him.
He obviously did not need costume jewelry, but he wanted it.
That's the kind. If you don't need it, or if you go to this place that, again, at the end of the day, you eat in this place, you have no purpose to go there. I'd rather stay home than go to this place. Yeah, or you can ingest food from anywhere. There's a lot of things that are edible. You go to this guy to give him. Instead of let's say you'd want to give the guy tzedakah. Let's say, but instead of giving him tzedakah, you think he would be ashamed. So what do? You support him for something that you don't really want. And you're allowed to use tzedakah funds for that as well. Okay? So, one more halacha, and then we'll call it a day. Says Maran, Chayav la'akdim le'achil ra'ev min chasot ha'arum, which means, if you have you have limited funds, and you have a choice whether to feed a hungry ani, or to clothe a naked ani, la'alacha, you feed the hungry one first. Why? Because over there, that's chayin nefesh. The suffering that comes from hunger is more than that comes from being undressed. Says the Beirut Liv, that's Pashut. So that's a different thing. We'll hold up here today. We'll continue tomorrow, Bezat Hashem. We'll see you in about an hour for Tomer Deborah. Kol Tov. Yes, sir.